The book of Judges takes us from the earliest days of Israel as a nation to the point where they will soon insist upon a king. It was a wild time in Israel. There was no capital city, no centralized government, and there were no synagogues in those days. It was a lawless time. At certain points, God anointed men to rule and lead the people, and for a season, relative calm would reign. And then that ruler, known as a judge, would die, and it would soon be every man for himself. The author of the book of Judges summed up the state of Israel in those days this way. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In reading this, you get the feeling this was not a compliment. The idea of all the people of Israel doing what was right in their own eyes signified that they were not overly concerned with doing what was right in the eyes of God, which, of course, is what they should have sought to do. As I read that statement the other day, I could not help but reflect upon the state of the church in our generation. As in those days, all of us, Christians and non-Christians, have certain ideas and beliefs about life, about God, about the Bible, and about what is right and what is wrong. The question is this: where do all these ideas and opinions come from? Sadly, for most people today, their convictions, beliefs, and values come from their own internal sense of things. Things are right or wrong because, well, they feel that they are right or wrong. But that, of course, means nothing. For everyone who has a feeling about a certain behavior or standard or belief, you can find plenty of other people who believe the exact opposite. We may feel that our beliefs and values are proper because to us these things are self-evident, to use Jefferson's term. But although we may see our ideas this way, someone else may have self-evident opinions entirely opposed to our own. The murderous monster Adolf Hitler had views he was certain were self-evident, and yet he could not have been more wrong. We must have a higher authority than self. We simply cannot trust our own opinions, feelings, and ideas. What values we may suppose are perfectly correct may be in truth entirely false. And this is why we Christians base our views, attitudes, convictions, and beliefs upon the Bible. This inspired book, we believe, comes from a higher authority than our own opinions and feelings. It comes straight from the heart of God, and the closer we base our beliefs upon the Scriptures, the safer and wiser and more correct we become. However, things have changed drastically in the last generation or two. There was a day when most evangelical Christians were Orthodox Christians. They believed in the Trinity. They believed in the deity of Jesus. They believed in the inspiration of the Scriptures. They believed in both the Sermon on the Mount and the epistles of the Apostle Paul. They believed in heaven and hell and the new birth. We may have had our disagreements over Calvinism versus Arminianism, or whether Jesus was returning before the rapture of the church or after the rapture, but on most fundamentals, there was not much variation. Today, it is not so. Many people who will forcefully declare themselves to be Christians are all over the map when it comes to the fundamental doctrines of the Bible. One thing that has made me keenly aware of this has to do with the constant, bizarre comments that are left under my YouTube videos. People who are certain that they're Christians hold such unbiblical and heretical views, it takes my breath away. I wonder, where in the world did these folks get these odd and wacky ideas? They range from people who absolutely despise the Apostle Paul to those who feel the teachings of Jesus are entirely irrelevant for Christians today, to those who deny the Trinity, to those who deny the personhood of the Holy Spirit, and believe so many more strange doctrines that run entirely opposite to what Christians have believed and preached for the last 2,000 years. I wonder to myself, where did they learn this nonsense? How is it that so many millions of self-professed Christians have strayed so far from the path of theological soundness? I believe there are several key reasons that make this a particular problem in our generation. The first reason is inconsistent church attendance. There are not nearly as many people who attend church regularly as there used to be. In previous generations in America, On Sunday mornings, nearly everybody up and down the block would be getting ready early, having a quick breakfast, and heading off for the local Baptist church or Presbyterian or Methodist or Assembly of God church. Traffic was light on Sundays between the hours of 10 and 12. Today, very few people go to church, at least regularly. Many Americans love to say things like, "I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious." Very few want to admit that they have no spiritual experiences, nor do they want others to think them a stone-cold atheist. By saying, "I'm spiritual, but not religious," they give themselves an air of being a highly sensitive and deep person, without the nuisance of going down to their corner church with their Bible under their arm, or saying things like, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord," or "Jesus is Lord." It is so much cooler these days to skip church and ignore the Bible, but instead to meditate, practice yoga, and think deep and spiritual thoughts about climate change and global warming. But of course, when you ignore the Bible, you could not possibly be expected to know the Bible or to hold traditional biblical, evangelical, orthodox Christian views. Without the constraints of the biblical revelation, your liberated mind is free to roam wherever you will it to go. In other words, to do and believe what is right in your own eyes. After watching a one-half-hour program of theological drivel, they will feel good about themselves and tell others, "Oh yeah, I went to church this morning. I listened to Pastor so-and-so on television." Sadly, if Christians are all over the map theologically, the television preachers are more so. You do not have to pass a theological test to preach on TV. You're not required to demonstrate orthodoxy or biblical balance. The only prerequisite for preaching on TV is that you must put up the money to pay for the airtime. And that generally means you'll have to be a pastor of a large church which can help pay those TV bills. But many men become pastors of large churches not because they preach sound biblical Christian doctrines, but because they tell people what they want to hear and only what they want to hear. Thus, they'll never preach about repentance or God's hatred for sin or the necessity to live a holy life. They will simply announce that every single person has a great destiny in God, and if you'll only allow God to lead you, He will make you great, He will make your wildest dreams come true, He will give you lots of money and other stuff, and you will achieve a destiny beyond anything you can imagine. And, of course, that sounds great to a lot of people, so if this minister has an engaging personality, a nice smile, and speaks well, he will often build a very large church, and before you know it, he'll be talking to a TV network and writing out a fat check so that he can tell millions that God wants to make them all great and rich and famous. A third reason so many professing Christians hold such unbiblical beliefs is that our nation and much of our world today have stopped reading. In the old days, reading was what you did in the evenings. After your dinner meal, you sat in a chair in your living room and read until you got drowsy and then went to bed. Today, with the internet and YouTube and video games and cable television with hundreds of stations, who reads anymore? Not many. This is bad in general, but it is especially bad for Christians who will not make the time to read the Bible. And with virtually no biblical knowledge, they're susceptible to some of the wildest, craziest, and most unbiblical doctrines that have ever existed in the history of the church. They swallow falsehoods that our great-grandparents would immediately have seen through and rejected out of hand. But we have become an illiterate world, and we in the church have become a biblically illiterate people, so illiterate that we cannot discern between doctrines of demons and the doctrines of Jesus Christ. So when some false teacher spews theological poison from his mouth, we nod our heads and shout amen, congratulating ourselves on being so thoroughly enlightened. Fourthly, professing Christians are seduced away from biblical Christianity because in today's church there's often a lack of emphasis upon Jesus. Jesus is the anchor that holds all the classic doctrines together. If you look at the cults, you will find that they have all departed from Jesus. They do not believe He is God in the flesh. They do not emphasize Him, and they certainly do not preach the new birth through faith in Him. Rather, they emphasize their own unique doctrines because that's what makes them special. They attract others who want to be special and understand the deeper mystical doctrines which ordinary Christians do not grasp. Professing themselves wise, they become fools. The solution is pretty simple. We must get back to the Bible and get back to centering our lives, our churches, our sermons, our teachings, and our faith on Jesus Christ. Sadly, the need for this is not only for cult members. Many who consider themselves mainstream evangelicals have so little Bible knowledge and insight that they either cannot answer some of the most basic questions or else they fear to. A popular Christian singer was asked by someone what she thought about a particular sin. At least, the Bible certainly calls it a sin. Today, many Americans do not. When she was asked whether this behavior was really a sin, she answered, "I can't say one way or the other. I'm not God. So when people ask me questions like that, I just say to read the Bible and find out for yourself, and when you find out, let me know because I'm learning too." Well, I found that astonishing. This incredibly popular Christian singer said that she did not know whether something the Bible explicitly condemns is a sin. My thought was this: this singer is either A, intellectually challenged, or B, never reads the Bible and doesn't have a clue what it says, or C, is afraid to declare what the Bible says for fear of being controversial and losing some of her fans. We who follow Christ are Bible believers, lovers of the Scriptures. We are not free to create our own values and standards, or to allow our morality to shift and morph with the prevailing winds of our culture. Nor are we free to stray from a Christ-centric belief system which respects and clings to the time-honored doctrines that the Church of Jesus Christ has always embraced. We will not do, nor will we believe, that which is right in our own eyes. We will believe the Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to shape our lives and our thinking according to its precepts. And while there was no king in Israel in the days of those judges, we have a king today. His name is Jesus, and we will follow him always.